Hey guys, just before we get into it, we would like to acknowledge our podcast partners in Beyond Blue.
If you're feeling low, anxious, or need to talk to someone, please contact the people at Beyond Blue. Their phone number is 1300 224 636.
You can visit them on the website as well at www.beyondblue.org.au/get support. Enjoy the episode.
Thanks, guys.
Hello and welcome to the Listics AFL podcast. I'm your host, John Van Norden, and here with me, as always, is a good old Sean Lewis. Sean, how you doing, mate?
Good, mate. I'm not sure why I'm old this week, but
you're a dinosaur, mate. I'm a lean, fit, and fighting 29-year-old, and you are way in your 30s now. So
I'm 31. Mate.
Yeah, so
way into my 30s.
Yeah, full on dinosaur.
What do we got this week, mate?
So we're going to get into the Dogs. We covered
woof, here we come.
Covered Essendon earlier in the week. We are going to try to make this podcast a little bit faster than our normal one. So. Bear with me while I get into podcasting mode.
And we do have some questions from some Twitter people.
Okay, we'll answer them at the end of the pod. How's that?
Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely
fine.
So
you make sure they're up and ready. So the Dogs. The Dogs are the sixth or seventh oldest team in the competition, or youngest team in the competition, which, I mean, I think most people understand. And they're about eighth in the amount of games played as well, eighth youngest. So they are still one of the younger teams in the competition, but not that much younger than everyone now. So they are moving out of that range. And as for their list build, they've got three rucks, three key forwards, seven general forwards, nine general defenders, seven key defenders, and 16 mids. So, I mean,
It's not a great profile.
No, I mean, but that more than anything sums up the Dogs. Like, they've got heaps of mids and not many key forwards or bigs, like not many key forwards, rucks and key defenders. Because, I mean, even though some of those key defenders are some of the ones with some of the poorer stats in the league. So,
and Dale Morris is obviously retired.
Yeah.
So that leaves a huge hole.
Yeah, exactly. Further sort of strains that. So as far as strengths and weaknesses goes, it is one of the weaker lists. I mean, I think that they're still.
I think that's a hard thing to say. I don't think it's a weak.
It's not a weak
list. I
don't
think it's a weak list. I think it's an imbalanced list.
I misspoke. I said last year during this podcast that the Western Bulldogs, I felt, had the best young midfield in the AFL.
They still do,
And I still think they do. So I obviously think quite highly of them in that regard. And I think that the fact that they've also got Tim English in a young, tall, superstar ruck in the making.
And they've also got Aaron Norton, who should go back to defence and is a key defender.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've got some really, really top-end players there.
Yeah, for me, if anything, trying to get into finals right now, I mean, probably you're just trying to be the best team that you possibly can be, and I think that's the right thing for the Western Bulldogs, but I don't see them being a real threat for 2 to 3 years. I think the late season form sort of set off offset from the early season form, and they also in the back half of the year smacked or beat a couple of teams that were having form slumps, as in Geelong off a bye, Essendon towards the end of the year when they had injuries, GWS towards the end of the year when they had injuries, and that happened to the, and they smacked a couple of the teams that were falling out of finals
and
as well.
Where did they finish last year? I think it was 13th, so they were on the edge of the beneficial area for fixtures.
Yep.
And that helps. I mean, look, they had an amazing run into finals and a super effort, but again, a bit like when they won the flag, they probably outperformed where their profile is, and I think they did that again this year. That said, I do think next year they should finish where they finished this year, so I think I don't see them going backwards. What were the big moves, mate?
So Dalhouse out was an obviously fairly big thing.
Yeah.
They were able to attract some role players in guys like Sam Lloyd and Taylor Duray, which I think were really smart acquisitions because they did fill gaps on the list. They also
They lost Marcus Adams, unfortunately.
And they were probably going to let go of Roughhead. They let go of him for effectively nothing. So two of the players that if they had them on the list, not that they were playing Roughhead as a key defender, but probably would be, if those two were still on the list, the two highest ranked key defenders on their list. So I know Marcus Adams has had an injury an injured year, and pick 32 and a third round pick for him is actually pretty good value. But losing Roughhead for effectively nothing when he wasn't offering value to the club before that was a bit unfortunate. And they were obviously able to bring in Bailey Smith via the draft, which was the big win. Like, that was really the best slot to be drafting in. A Victorian club drafting with the last pick in that super bunch that wasn't compromised. So obviously there were compromised selections with Blakey and Thomas, but Bailey Smith would have been a top three selection in this draft. There would have been chatter about whether he could have gone pick one. So
for a long time he was considered top five in last year's draft, and it was only really niggling injuries over the year that probably pushed him to slide, and then some extremely good form from Connor Rosie and Ben King absolutely monstering defences that really pushed him backwards.
Yep.
So, I mean, overall, this year he would be debated about him amongst Anderson and Rao. He would be as accomplished as either of those and could justifiably fit as a top three pick this year pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I agree. If we look at their top players, again, it's something similar like Essendon, where their top players now are also looking like they're going to be their top players into the future.
Yep.
Bontempelli, McRae, Dunkley, and then probably Aaron Norton and Tim English would be the other two most important players to them, and that's going to be the same going forward, which is really good scope going forward, because that's not even all of their good young players. So Bailey Smith is obviously not included in that.
Ed Richards,
exactly. Toby McLean, who I'm not sure if he's going to be at the club going forward, but that's something that I can talk about. Caleb Daniel, Jason Johannesson, a lot of young players that are still really, really good. Lockie Hunter, obviously, I think won their best and fairest last year. So they do have a really good young list. I think they just need to be complemented with, again, some more mid-career experience. And their role players that they brought in Drew Ray and Lloyd show how important that can be, because they play roles. They're good enough to be best 22 AFL players, so why not at the Western Bulldogs? And
I think with those key players, you can sit back and see how they're barring serious injury, they're going to be a dominant force in the AFL for the next 5-10 years if they make the right moves now.
I think that there are definitely a finals team going forward. It just depends on, as you said, what kind of moves they make.
While you're having a bit of a yawn, the good, obviously we've been just speaking about it, high quality youth. They're upper end in a lot of their youth players is exceptional, like your Jack McRae's, your Bonts, this kind of stuff. They're all not even in prime career yet, and they're all performing at elite production levels.
Yeah,
and
they have about five players on their list at the moment that I believe could, some stage over the next 10 years, if they're not already, be top 10 players in the competition. So Bontempelli is already there.
McRae's not far off.
McRae's in that conversation for about that range. And Norton, English,
Bailey Smith.
Smith was the other one I was thinking of. I didn't have it written down in front of me. I was tossing up Dunkley, but I don't think that he's quite there. I think he's more of the Tom Mitchell type.
Correct. Not to say that's not an elite player.
Not an important role, but just not hyper damaging, which for me makes you a top 10 in the competition. And like, having that many players that could potentially be in that area is fantastic. They just need to iron out some deficiencies. So when you look at some of the bad, it's that they have some of their players that are definitely in their best 22 at the moment that are playing what would be probably considered for the rest of the league not best 22 footy. So guys that are good role players like your Zane Cordy type of players, and there are a couple of other role players in that.
Well, Jackson Trengove as well.
Yeah, exactly. They do end up playing a fair chunk of games. They're just not, like, they either have a really high loss rate for one-on-ones out of the defenders, or they don't do a whole lot back the other way. And they are good, as I said, good role players, but in those areas of the ground where it's really important, they obviously have Shacky as a forward as well, and he's developing. So that
I think Shacky's shown enough this year to say he's on the right path.
He is, But okay, then. So Shaki, Billy Gowers, I know that he didn't play all games this year, but Billy Gowers is another one of those players, and they're probably short a key forward as well, like a second or third key forward.
I mean, that's the other part of the bad is, I mean, I'd almost say it's the ugly, the lack of key forwards and rucks there is just hideous. They've got English, who's going to be a future ruck star in our opinion, but you know, you've left him to the Wolves this year, and sure enough, I know Collingwood did it with Grundy, but Collingwood also had Witts there as well.
Yeah, and we had, before Witts and Grundy, we had Hudson, who was playing with one of those two, whichever one was playing that week. So
and so for them, what I look at is they let Roughhead go, and they weren't playing as a key defender, but then they've gone and picked up who's the Collingwood guy? No, not Collingwood, Jackson Trengove.
Yeah.
So Jackson Trengove, and then they're playing him the same way they played Roughhead. And I thought that, you know, I think I said it last year, that's your same player. You're like, it's effectively what you got is the same player you've just let go for pick 70. And it just didn't make a lot of sense to me, apart from just churn. But
yeah,
you need a more solid ruck. They could easily get in the conversation for, a ruckman like Sauce Jacobs or something like that, which, you know, you get one, you say to Sauce, look, okay, you're going to be challenging next year for the top job, and then the next year you're going to slide more, you're going to be number two, but you're going to be, you know, you got to push English the whole way, and if form warrants it and his form isn't good, then you'll play.
Yeah.
And then year three, you're going to be the coach.
So, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Like what they've done with Hodge in Brisbane, it's in a contract that'll transition towards coaching. Go find a good ruckman that can play right now, but can also support the development of your young ruck.
Yeah.
And you also just need to go look for some potential value players that can play in that key forward, key back role.
I've been really impressed with some of the players they've been linked with. Like, they've been linked to Josh Bruce, who I think is probably... in the AFL, he's probably a little bit underrated.
Definitely underrated.
I think at St Kilda, he's not. I think St Kilda fans certainly see his value. But yeah. I think wider in the AFL, I think he's a little bit underrated. But he would really straighten up their forward line, and he'd actually allow Shaki a bit better development because he'd be able to push to number two. And
sorry, we've got some sleeping dogs waking up in the background.
Hey, Coop.
That's all right. They're cute puppies. So, yeah, you're right. And, I mean, the other one who I think is also from St Kilda is Jake Carlisle.
He'd be a great fit for him.
Yeah, I think both of those... If you could get a trade, if St Kilda are looking to move on those guys, and you could get a trade where you could bring in both of those guys for either a player and a mid-round pick or something like that, I'd take it every day of the week. Because, you improve both your key forward and your key back depth, and you also bring in two clearly best 22 players.
And I think they've probably got the trade bait. Like, they've got enough good, I guess, young players that are struggling with game time. So you touched on Toby McLean as one.
Yep.
They've also, I think it's one of the Baileys. So they got Williams and Dale.
Yeah.
One of them's...
Bailey Dale's just signed. So
is he the forward?
He's the forward that kicked, like, might have been 20 goals in the last six weeks.
He's the one that you could probably tempt St Kilda with, but Bailey Williams, I know...
Bailey Williams, Lucas Webb, there's a couple of guys that have been in and out of the side with form, and when they've come in, they've been looked brilliant, and they're not good at all. So there will be clubs that are willing to take a risk on those kind of guys and see if they can get them right at their own club. You're completely right. We are going to take a bit of a look now at some of their off-contract players. So Bailey Williams is one of those players, and I think probably the right thing is trade or re-sign.
Yeah, look, he's an AFL-quality player, so I think they have to keep him on the list.
Yeah.
If he's... who am I saying? If basically he wants to continue, but if he wants to move for more opportunity, they should be moving him on.
Yeah.
Realistically, he's definitely like an AFL quality player that just isn't getting opportunity at the moment.
Yeah.
Or not a lot of opportunity. Next up is
Buku Kalmus,
who
Are we sure about that one?
I'm not 100% sure that he's an out-of-contract player. I mean, you'd re-rookie him regardless. I think that they moved him from a Category B rookie, which they were able to select him at because he was a next-gen, to a Category A rookie last year.
Okay.
And I think that they'll probably give him another year, at least in that sort of area, or upgrade him, because, I mean, he's a long-term, he's a good option for them in that.
He's super, super exciting to watch. He's
I loved him. I mean, I had him sitting around the top 30 last year. I actually love him as a defender, so I think that he is someone that can develop. I just think that he'll probably need some...
He plays a bit similar to Quainer.
To Quainer, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I would say maybe if you mix Quainer with a non-flying version of Wood, he's really good at stepping back and intercepting, like reading the play and stepping back and intercepting and then using. So I think that he'll be a good player. Dale Morris is obviously
retired.
Fletcher Roberts, restricted free agent, but, I mean, hasn't been able to get a game for them for some time. So
it could be one that you let leave.
I think that they'll let him leave. I don't know where he'll go, but I think that they'll let him leave. Pickin is another one who's retired.
Yep.
So they're going to free up some list spots purely with retirements, and they're going to get even younger than they are at the moment.
Lucas Webb, re-sign.
Re-sign or trade. As in another one of those players.
Same as Bradley Williams, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That I think might tempt another club that think that they can get the best out of him, but I don't think that they're getting the best out of him at the moment at the Dogs. Rourke Smith, I would probably delist, but I mean, I've been saying this every single year since...
But he's played games this year and he's played well. I like him. I think they're going to re-sign him. I think
they like him, so they'll probably re-sign him.
He needs to keep for the Dogs, they probably need to just roll him on 1 year contracts to keep him, I guess manage the risk that he's got. He played, 10 games? Five games this year, okay. So not an amazing amount of games this year, but, I mean, I still think he's better than the draft pick that you would need.
He's got some upside. It's not that. It's that he's been injured multiple times, and when he's come into the side, he hasn't been a clear best 22 player. So for me, he just holds a lot of risk. And you're right, maybe it's just rolling 1 year deals, even though he's a young player.
Yeah, so they need to risk manage the situation.
Until he's got to a stage where he's played 2 or 3 years consistently best 22 footy. He's another one. Ryan Gardner, I don't think gets another contract.
I'd re-sign him just because they don't have key forward depth. And he was a mid-season.
But he's been at Geelong for a while before that. They might, given the success that they have with Hamling, re-sign him. But
I'd just re-sign him 1 year because it's a rookie. It's a rookie deal. He played games because they had long-term injuries to Tom Boyd.
I'd
re-rookie him.
I would give a rookie contract to a different key forward in the VFL or AFL.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
I don't think that Gardner has the scope. I think that he's been at...
Excellent depth, that's all.
But he's been at... He was at Geelong for a long time as depth and didn't crack their side. And now he's been at Western Bulldogs and he cracked it for maybe 1 or 2 games. But I think that they need to try... The reason I like trying somebody new is because you can hit the jackpot more. Ryan Gardner is never going to turn into Brody Majacek.
No.
But Brody Majacek could be picked up as a rookie.
Yeah. But Ryan Gardner, when you've got 3 key forwards and, you know, you're potentially talking about trading in one.
You and I could have this argument forever because I agree. I just think they need to try different ones.
Yeah.
New ones.
But
fresh ones.
Sometimes better the devil you know.
Sometimes worse. Tory Dixon, I think he gets another deal if he wants to go around again.
How old is he now? He'd be in 30-something.
Yeah, he'd be in his 30s. I think it was 31. So he'd be 32
by the start of next year. Deal. I mean, he's still a super player, so
yeah,
up to him, really. What is missing?
For me, it's just... it's actually really similar to Essendon, except they don't have the same deficiencies Essendon do. They're just more clearly in a growth area. As in, they need role players for their side. Not just, like, they don't need more midfielders. I don't mean that. I just mean they need role players. So guys like your Jake Kelly, it would be a good example of somebody like that. Hugh Greenwood would be good. Jack Martin, I think, is a really good fit for these guys. Shai Bolton would be a good fit for the Dogs. I think that they just need players, more players, because they're on the right path. Yeah. It's just a matter of being able to find the right guys to bring in.
I'd just say, like, what's missing is pretty simple. It's ruck and key forwards and high quality defenders apart from, or just a Dow defender. I'd like to see him. So, like, a Jake Kelly would be ideal for them because they could play Norton at centre half. And
what do you reckon about Josh Jenkins?
For a couple of years, yeah, he'd straighten him up. I think he's a great option.
So
he's a lot like Josh Bruce in that way.
I think that Bruce and Carlisle are the two ideals. I think they're both better, and they're probably longer term options, being slightly younger as well. But they definitely need some of these guys that are second string at their own clubs, or are going to be moved on by their own clubs. Trying their hand at a couple of these taller types to, as you said, straighten them up.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got midfield. So looking at Essendon, looking at the Dogs side by side, where Essendon, we can sit there and go, their midfield balance isn't right, but they've got some good key posts. But again, they probably need depth and they need to get better balance. They've got too much similarity. Don't see a lot of that with the Dogs. It's not too much similarity. They've got a beautifully balanced midfield. They've got lovely outside players, great inside players. They've got a stupidly talented Bontempelli.
Yeah.
Supported ably by his cast of thousands.
Yes.
They've got some key spine talent. And the part where I look and go to what is missing, it's not so much a balance, or it's not so much too much of the same. You just don't have some things.
Yeah, it's probably the same as what I probably didn't explain it well. The same as Essendon, but the reverse is in their upside is Essendon's downside. Is in their upside is strong, well-balanced young midfield, whereas Essendon would love to have that problem. But where Essendon have strength in going, we've got Saad, McKenna, Anthony McDonald, Tim and Woody, Fantasia. We've got all of these guys that are a fantastic support cast forwards and backs, including key position development as well. That's what Western Bulldogs are missing. They just have similar targets, as in Essendon will resolve it by going like guys like CY, as we said, Hugh Greenwood, but I think that the Dogs will resolve it by going guys like Jack Martin, as we said, Carlisle, Bruce,
Jenkins. Jack Martin's a great pick for them. I think he would give them something they really lack in that high quality mid forward role.
Yep.
And I think since Dal's premiership year, and I mean, I think they got Lockie Hunter playing that role a bit.
Yeah, Hunter's more predominantly wing.
Yeah, but I just feel that, like Martin can offer something that they haven't had probably since their premiership year. So it's an excellent pick. I think he's an excellent fit, the same way Bruce would be a good fit. Carlisle would be an exceptional fit as well. So, they've got the right targets they're being linked to. The only thing is that, what do they have to lose to really get them?
Yeah.
In terms of draft picks, I think they've still got their first, which is about...
Give me a second to bring up the draft pick. So, their first pick will be around 12.
Yep.
Their second pick will be around 30. And then they've got... do they have a second pick? Yeah, they do. And then they've got 3 third-round picks as well, which are...
St Kilda, Hawthorn, and their own.
And their own third-round picks. So they've got a reasonable amount of picks, which is good. And they have an academy player next year. So it wouldn't surprise me if they transitioned some of their picks into the future just to make sure that they've got enough points.
So, yeah, here's where my question... So this is from Dieter. Dieter? Sorry if I got your name wrong.
Dieter. Yeah, something like that.
Dieter, I think it is. He asked on Twitter, could the Bulldogs trade their 2020 first-round selection and their 2019 second-round selection... which is about pick 30 for Carlton's pick 11 this year, which is the Adelaide pick.
Yeah.
And possibly a kicker on the back end, so a 2020 third round, because they do have Jamara Ugle Hagen.
Yep.
Jamara Ugle Hagen next year, who is at the moment shaping like a top five.
Yep.
So, you know, they probably don't want next year's pick. Their first round pick, I'd be willing to let them lose that. It's a ripping question, and I actually think it's one that Carlton could actually try and, you know, they could potentially benefit out of that sort of thing. But I would want to see Carlton get a player.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think that as well, potentially looking at the wrong club as a trade partner. I mean, I might be looking at doing that with a club that will have multiple first round picks and might be willing to give up one this year.
Brisbane?
Yeah, Brisbane, maybe, who've got some picks later in this first round, or even the Giants if they're looking to move some picks into the future. I think the
Giants will probably try and get to Melbourne or Adelaide's
pick. I agree, but we'll see how it all shakes up. But I think that it's a better chance at happening with a club that's got multiple picks. Also, you have to work out the difference in value. Regardless of whether you want your first round pick next year, you've got to work out what your first round pick next year is worth in terms of a pick this year.
Probably, I think for them, given they've got a top five talent, and look, genuinely, he, like,
I agree. What
I've seen of him,
I agree. I completely agree with the thought process behind it. But if I'm looking at the Dogs and saying your pick this year is about 12, yeah. And we're going to say you finish around the same spot next year, maybe five spots higher, maybe five spots lower. I don't know how the Dogs are going to go, but let's say you get 12 again next year. 12 next year is probably worth 21, 22 this year. It's not the same. It's a different market, completely different market. So trading, yes, you can do it, but you might not get the kind of value that you'd expect.
I would like to see them... I would actually like to see them bundle up like that, because what effectively they're doing is they'd be promoting this year's second round pick. They'd be promoting that up into a first round pick, which gives them a crack at... So let's say, for argument's sake, what, pick 12, we're probably looking at guys that they would love to be there at pick 12. A Will Gould, probably Fisher McCassie. They're probably two that I reckon they'd have their eye on. Maybe even potentially someone like Dylan Stevens probably wouldn't be too bad for him, because another outside player wouldn't hurt. But I guess, like, looking at it, they could get two early first rounds. They could, you know, even if they could get a pick around about that 18 mark, they could turn next year's pick into a pick 18. They could go get Brody Kemp and hold on to him for a year, and he's something they haven't got.
Yeah, I don't know if Kemp will be around at 18 either, but 15. It's, yeah, this is... I agree with the thought behind it, but this is where it gets really hard valuing future drafts versus current drafts. Is that if you go, we're going to give up our second round pick at 30 and our future first round pick, which might be, say, 12. We're just giving them it's 12. That 12, it probably to most clubs, is valued at about 22 or 23 this year, which means you're trading 22, 23 and 30, which means probably the best that you'll be able to shake is maybe a 16, because you're going to remember the draft falls away, not dramatically, but there's definitely stages of this draft where if you can get inside the top 15, then you've done really, really well with that trade.
I would say next year's pick 12, based on what we've seen, is probably worth, like, real value in this year's draft will be worth in the teens. Like,
are
you saying next year is that shallow?
Yes. I disagree. And not only that, you've also got to take into account the fact that people discount the future. So for paying into the future, at minimum you lose, say, five slots. So typically we see it's worth 2/3 of the value of a draft spot. So if you were trading out a pick 12 next year, if you could project that, you'd be aiming for a pick 18 this year. So that's probably your best hope. Then you've also got to take into account that the draft is weaker, which means I think it pushes it back further. I honestly think that the best you'll get for a mid to late first round pick next year, which is where the Dogs are sitting, is a 20s pick at best for a future pick.
That's very direct, and that's why you throw in the kicker of a second round.
It's why you have to throw in the kicker of a second round. And I think that I think it's worth it to get up, and I think that it's also worth it for a club to consider moving more picks into the future, because, as I said, like with the Essendon stuff, it's hard to predict the future. So,
but so for next year, for the future picks, I don't see them having an issue. They can easily flick those third rounders across this year into future picks. What I'm looking at is going, they have a really high quality balance across and young high quality. They've potentially got the opportunity in 2 years to add three very high quality players.
Yeah.
In the space of two drafts, that would address a key forward in Ugel Hagen.
Yep.
They would be able to address with a Will Gould, they'd be able to address a replacement for Dale Morris.
Yep.
And with a player like Fisher McCasey or even a Brody Kemp or something, they get a player who can play back and forward.
Yep.
And in Kemp's case, he can play through the middle. And in Fisher McCasey's case, they get, you know, a guy who's essentially can play a third or a key. And it means you can continue with McCasey there, you can continue playing Norton forward, and you'd get this amazing, I mean, Luke Beveridge loves flexibility. We know that. We look at the way he plays his team. It's chop and change. I can plug this piece in wherever I need it. So in that case, you know, getting a guy like McCasey who's starred as a defender, but has actually played most of his junior career as a forward.
Yeah.
And played key forward in the knockout game where they unfortunately lost the APS final to, well, not final, the APS game to Caulfield. He played as a key forward there. And like, it all fits. I just think that something like that from the Dogs would just, they would be a team, like we spoke with Essendon, you'd look at their midfield and you're not scared. I look at the Dogs midfield now and I worry.
Yep.
But you go and add some talent like we're talking, you know, they've already got Norton, Shacky looks like he's coming on well, they got English, you go throw in a Kemp, a McCasey and Ugel Hagen, and 5 years' time, I'm sitting there looking at that list and going, Jesus, like, what do you do? You've got super talent everywhere, and it's just going to be support players for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're probably, so we've actually covered off a couple of players that they should be looking at in the draft there as well.
Yeah.
Because I agree with all of those players for their picks. I think they'll probably do better trying to offload multiple picks this year and their future first round picks. So rather than just one, I would be making like a large offer, sort of what Port did last year. You know how Port moved in lots of picks into early picks and got those three picks in the first round. I think that if they sent the picks that are currently sitting 41, 46, and 48, if they sent all of those picks, their second round pick, which is 30, and their first round pick, which their future first round pick. So that's a future first round, a second round, and three third round picks. If they sent that, I reckon that they could go to North Melbourne, Carlton, these kind of clubs, and say, we want your first round pick this year, your second round pick next year, and your third round pick next year. So it's three third rounders and a second rounder for a first rounder. Like, as in, you get an additional 2 third round picks, but the 2 third round picks that are additional and the second round pick additional are in this draft rather than next draft, which is where I think that it balances a little bit more.
Yeah. So I think to do that, they need to find someone who's got academy players.
This year.
Yeah, who's going to pay for them.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, as I said, like I actually think that would be a good trade for North, because I know that North probably need high upside players, but this draft, more than next draft, I would rather have lots of picks in the second and third round. I would free up a lot of list spaces and just go, let's just wait and see who everyone else doesn't pick, because there's a lot of players in this draft that you could say are worth a top 20 pick or a top 30 pick or a top 40 pick. So just get a fistful of picks between 25 and 45 and say, we're going to pick 6 people there. Next year, we're going to take 2 first round picks in and see how high we can get. And we'll probably get, hopefully for them, above the Ugel Hagen. They might actually end up placing the bid.
Yeah,
on him, but
that's okay. Like that's okay.
I could see a deal like that happening. I mean, as far as we sort of talked about some of the draftable players for them, Fisher McCasey is the right kind of player. Will Gould, I think, is a good fit for any club around there. I think Brody Kemp again is another good option. Jeremy Sharp, a good option.
I could see him placing a bid on Liam Henry around here, actually.
Yeah, Liam Henry would be a good fit. I mean, they've got a lot of good players that would be a good fit around that mark.
Second round, I'd like to see him throw out a Cam Tahini. He's the type of utility player they could use.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that those are all the right kind of players. But I mean, for them, a move like what you sort of talked about from thanks, Dieter, for that question. Apologies on the pronunciation from both Sean and I.
They'll have to correct us.
Yeah. I think that's the right kind of approach, is just front end the talent coming in. So try get two picks this year, know that you've got another high end pick next year, and trust that you have enough talent on the list, and then fill the rest of the spots with players, like as in guys like your Sam Lloyds, your Taylor Gerays, that are going to be value to you, more valuable to you than to anyone else.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, yeah, I really liked when I got the message. I was pretty, I digested it for a little while and I thought about it. The more I thought about it, I thought that's exactly what they need to do. It's what we speculated that Sydney had to do with the Blakey bid, and that sort of thing. It's just sometimes when you look at it and you know you've got such an obviously talented junior, and you know you got to roll that dice. His talent is going nowhere, and Jamar Ugle Hagen kicked, was it 3 goals in the last game?
Yep.
He obviously plays with Noah Anderson and Matt Rowell at Oakley Chargers, but yeah, he kicked a bag full in his last game, and he's kicked, you know, 30 odd goals or something for the year. So he's had a really good and he's a key forward that the Dogs just don't have.
Yeah, okay. So, I think we're both in agreement. What they do is they go after some key position players that are available at other clubs, role players that they can fit into their own club, and they try to bring in a couple of players this year. And if they can do that, then they'll be a force to be reckoned with. And we'll wrap it up there because, as I said, we're a bit time restricted for this second podcast, but we do thank you again for listening. We are going to try to get to all of these teams as they're eliminated during the finals. It is harder because we generally don't record until the middle of the week. So
I think we'll probably just release on a Thursday and maybe a Saturday.
Yeah, we'll just release later in the week for these next few, but and potentially in the week of finals we might do some finals podcasting as well, the grand final that is. But thank you again for listening and for engaging with us on Twitter, and look forward to speaking with you all again soon.
Yeah, thanks guys for listening. Apologies for pronunciations. We do love getting Twitter questions. It's really good to get the interaction and everything. And we hope everyone's enjoying these list analysis for this year. Thanks guys.
If you constantly worry that the worst is going to happen, you're not alone. 1 in 4 Australians will experience anxiety. Know when anxiety's talking. Visit Beyond Blue to start a life beyond anxiety.